Turn with me in your Bibles, please, for our second reading to Nehemiah chapter 4. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth, and took great indignation, and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria, and said, What do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, Even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. Hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity. And cover not their iniquity, let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. So we built the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. And Judah said, The strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. And our adversaries said, They shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst of among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. And it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times, From all places whence ye shall return unto us, they will be upon you. Therefore set I in the lower places behind the wall, and on the higher places I even set the people after their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, Be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your houses. And it came to pass, when our enemies heard that it was known unto us, and God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned all of us to the wall, everyone unto his work. And it came to pass from that time forth that half of my servants wrought in the work, and the other half of them held both the spears, the shields, and the bows, and the habergeons, and the rulers were behind all the house of Judah. They which builded on the wall, and they that bear burdens with those that laid it, every one with one of his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand held a weapon. For the builders, every one who had his sword girded by his side, and so builded, and he that sounded the trumpet was by me. And I said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, The work is great and large, and we are separated upon the wall, one far from another. In what place, therefore, ye hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye thither unto us. Our God shall fight for us. So we labored in the work, and half of them held the spears from the rising of the morning till the stars appeared. Likewise, at the same time, said I unto the people, Let every one with his servant lodge within Jerusalem, that in the night they may be a guard to us, and labor on in the day. So neither I, nor my brethren, nor my servants, nor the men of the guard which followed me, none of us put off our clothes, saving that everyone put off them for washing. Put them off for washing. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. Okay, well, so we have then, in this passage, the continuing on in the face of greater difficulty, right? So the first plan is to discourage the Jews through ridicule and insult. That's the first plan. And so Sanballat and Tobiah, well, they come up and they have a few things, a few fairly insulting things to say. You see this stone wall they're building, if a fox brushes against it, it'll fall over. This isn't any defense at all, right? And things like that. Sanballat has a few more things to say. He is asking with incredulity, will they build it in a day? Will they sacrifice? Will they set back up their religion? Right? And all of those things. And he's asking those questions rhetorically, doubtfully. Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? And that's designed to show the impossibility of it. That's an argument ad absurdum. Okay? And so all of that is being said. So the first salvo, the first wave is a wave of discouragement. A wave of discouragement. May I say that many give up at that point? Not these folks, but many do. We ourselves, sometimes perhaps, have been thwarted in our testimony. We have a new understanding of that word, don't we? Have been thwarted in our testimony. Why? For fear of ridicule. Does that happen? It does. For fear of ridicule, we've been thwarted in our testimony. Notice that it did not thwart these folks. Rather, what they did was they showed themselves familiar, that's right, with the Psalms. Because what they did was, rather than being put under threat by these discouragements, rather than being discouraged from the work, they rather prayed to God with imprecatory force. And so they learned imprecation from the Psalter, and they used it in their prayers. Now, I want you to make sure we get this straight, and we're always careful to point this out, no less here. Notice what they said. Let's make sure we get this. Cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. The thee there is, it's in italics, okay? So it's not in the original, but I believe your King James translators have done you a good turn. This is in keeping with all of the imprecations of Scripture. That it is not based on that you've offended me, so this is a personal vendetta that I'm asking for. No, Lord, they have reproached you. They have reproached thee, and having reproached thee, rise up in defense of your own name, Lord, and do to them what you will for the advancement of thy name. That's the imprecation that they pray. So we built the wall, and the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. The people had a mind to work. They were dedicated to the building up of the wall of Jerusalem such that these discouragements did not discourage them at all. Okay, and that is one of the defenses, is it not? Not only is prayer a defense, but this having a mind to the work is also a defense, isn't it? It's being ready to the work of God. Like the apostle says in putting on the whole armor of God, let your loins be girt about with the truth. To gird up your loins in Old and New Testament parlance simply means to be ready for something, to be prepared unto it. And so they were. All right, so did that satisfy then the enemies of the building? Oh, boy, they're too tough for us. We're going to go home, tail between our legs. No, they upped their efforts, right? And they said a couple of things. Mostly what they said was, we're going to infiltrate the city when you don't know it, and we'll rise up in your midst and destroy you while you're building. That was the biggest of the threats that they issued, that they were going to raise up a force, that force would be from without and from within, that they were going to infiltrate into the city, and then they were going to come upon them when they were unaware. And so they went from discouragements to threatening. Okay? Discouragements to threatening. That's the next ante that they up to. Now, notice what happens here. What do they do? What's the first response of the people when they figure out that that this threat has been issued, that there is opposition from within and without, they pray. That's their first salvo in their defense, is to pray. Okay, well, that's a good example, and that's something we need to follow. Whenever we are threatened, the first response is to pray. Now, what do they do with that prayer? They put feet to those prayers. And that is the second response. And that is also a good example, and in perfect scripture order. Right? You remember that old saying from William Gurnall. William Gurnall says, if you're in a boat that is taking on water, you can pray and bail, or you can pray and sink. Put feet to your prayer. And so they pray, Lord, protect us. And then what they do is they raise up fortifications and they put shifts to those fortifications. And even to those that are building now, everyone must gird on his sword. So it is, as it were, to have a trowel in one hand and a sword in the other. And they continue building, ready to their defense. And did you note what happened? Those who threatened them gave up. Did you hear that? If you didn't hear it, let me read that to you. If I can find it quickly. And it came to pass, when our enemies heard that it was known unto us, and God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned all of us to the wall, everyone unto his work. Okay? So they heard that their counsel had come to naught. They'd raised up a report. They'd raised up a threat. It didn't stop them. Rather, they fortified themselves instead. And so their counsel came to naught. So they rose up and continued to build. In the midst of that system where the threats came up, there were Jews that lived outside of the city. And notice what they said. This is an interesting way that Nehemiah puts it here in verse 12. It came to pass, when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times, from all places whence you shall return unto us, they will be upon you. In other words, they're going to surround you no matter what. They have their scouts and their spies and their forces well laid out, ready to attack at any time. And so there were some Jews that had given in to the threats. But notice, under the leadership of Nehemiah and the rest of the folks that had a mind to the work, that they continued on, that they set up their fortifications. And notice also that Nehemiah was in charge of the horn. The guy that had the horn was right next to Nehemiah, so that you wouldn't have any false reports. You wouldn't have any false alarms. So everyone would stay at their work. Because what is the best remedy here? The best remedy is to complete the work. And so everything is put in place so that they might not be distracted from it, but they might continue in it. A little bit later on in the book, we're going to find that Sanballat and Tobiah, they say to Nehemiah, why don't you come down and meet us? Let's have a meeting. Let's discuss this. Right? And Nehemiah says, I'm doing a great work. I can't come down. Don't interrupt me here. The best remedy is for us to continue with the work. Now, that's a really important point. Often the cure is worse than the disease, right? Because it takes us away. It distracts us from our duty. Not so in this example here. All right, thus ends the reading then of Nehemiah chapter 4.